Hi and welcome, I'm Tommy Holst and this is the Dropcast Movie Poster Podcast. This format is part of the Instagram blog Drop and you can find us under @DropMakeOfficial and we do reviews, news, interviews that all have to do with the film business. And today we have another release episode. It's going to be a really cool one because it features the new format that Bottleneck came up with. It is artist feature thing they do, or they want to do like every Friday. I don't know if they're going to do it like this week as well, but it's a really cool thing. They feature a new artist they have never worked with before, and it's a cool thing for the community, and it's giving back in a very cool way, and there is some really cool stuff in it. And besides that, I have something really cool for you as well. Giving back to the community is what I try to do as well. I'm going to talk about the Matt Griffin Dune print that came out with Bottleneck, and we're going to talk to Victoria Kasinova, who did the Five Bloods key art for this new Spike Lee movie, which is a really cool movie. And I'm really excited to talk to those artists in the end of the podcast. Okay, to start out with, here's the overview I have of all the art we are going to talk about, except, of course, the two pieces that have an individual look. So our first one is going to be this wonderful 2001 A Space Odyssey Stanley Kubrick print. It's a Bottleneck release, and they came up with a 1 millimeter PET mounted on paperback version and a 4 millimeter polystyrene version, which was available 300 times for $100 and 200 times for $200. Sizes are 24 by 36 inches, and it's a really cool piece. I mean, this spaceship is like very iconic, and the space station in this term as well. And it's one of the best sci-fi movies ever made. And it captures this really cool moment, this way of exploring space, in my opinion. And I really, really, really enjoyed this piece. It's a very, very great one. Sadly, my wallet said no, so I didn't get it. But I hope to see. I think a couple people already got them. I saw it on the Facebook groups I'm on, and I think a couple people got them. So let me know how this turned out in real life. I wonder how it feels and what it looks like. And yeah, thanks to Bottleneck, who is actually like turning around so fast with all the releases that came out lately. Good job on that, guys. Our second one is also a Bottleneck release, and this is co-release with Island Prints, which is one of my favorite names. And this artist who did this is the print I'm showing is a screen print by Jermaine Manger, I think is his name. Mengir, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think he's French, and he did this beautiful Robin Hood piece. And Robin Hood is one of my favorite Disney movies, so I really enjoyed this one. And there's also they didn't call it a variant, but there's this holofoil rainbow foil version of this piece. Looks also really, really cool. The edition of the foil is $165 for $60, and the screen print is $75 for $60. So very cool piece. Got all the cool characters in it. It got the nice setup with the characters, and gives you also the Friar Tuck Jungle Book vibes if you look at the bottom of this print. Very cool stuff. Our next one is by Juan Ramos, I think Juan Love. Is this Mr. Juan Love on Instagram? I think so. And this guy has my favorite Instagram name. If that's you, I hope I didn't get that wrong. But yeah, this is a really, really cool piece, and for the Batman animated series. And I think Bottleneck wanted to do a couple more pieces like this, and in the future, I heard something in the grapevine. I think I can't talk about it yet, but maybe something's going to happen more in the future in terms of Batman animated series. And this one has a blacklight reactive inks in this on the screen print, so I'm really excited how this is going to look like. So people, if you have that at home already, send pictures in the comments or something like that, so I see how the reactive inks work on this beautiful print. This is an edition of 375, $50 a piece, and it's 25 by 36 inch. So yeah, Batman Animated Series was very cool. It got all the characters in there, the good ones, the bad ones, basically, and of course the main character, Batman. And this conceptual piece is a very, very good with the colors as well, and as you have to be with a screen print, not a lot of colors, but it fits in perfectly, and I really enjoy this piece. Okay. Our next one is going to be a part of the artist series that I talked about. And it's the one, it's Dark City, and it's by the artist Michael Raflaub. He's a German, a Swiss artist. And he made this movie, I think from 98, I think it was. And it captures this feeling of this dark city very well, especially in this kind of greenish night vision kind of type print. It's a 24 by 18, 65 hand numbered edition, and $45. And there's also a variant of this piece in this kind of brownish color and brownish yellow. I think I like this one better though than the greenish one. I think it fits better to the movie, but I think the brownish one is more my favorite in this case. And there's only 35 of them out there, and it's $55 on a G-Clay print. Also in this series is this Lovecraftian novel. It's a book cover, so they not feature only movie posters or something like that. They feature art in general, and also book covers in this case. And at the Mountain of Madness, I really like the typography of the lettering here, and the eyes of this kind of monster, and the mountain, and all of that, and the look of it. It's all very, very cool. There's a variant which is basically black and white with the green eyes. I didn't like that so much, but this one is really fire. I really enjoyed this cover of this book, of this Lovecraftian novel, and I think it captures this kind of vibe that comes along with it very well. And Jay Gordon, shout out to you, very, very nice job. I hope there's going to be some more posters in the future, and yeah, so I want to see how you tackle the movie poster stuff as well. This is a 24 by 36 inch release, hand numbered edition of 100, and it was a co-release with Ishmael ISH, the toy maker. I don't know what it has to do with. They had the Cyclops Laurent Durieux release as well with him. And yeah, cool piece, $50, as I said. And yeah, the next one is also in that artist release pack. It is by George Townley, who's a very cool author. I really enjoy George Townley. He does very cool architectural stuff, and I'm really in the need of buying one of his, or one is maybe too, not enough, but more of his architectural work. I really enjoy it because I have the wall with only architecture stuff so far. I want to add on that maybe with some very cool pieces he does, especially in his Los Angeles series, where he picked very cool buildings around Los Angeles. And this one, Dunder Mifflin, do I have to say more? We all know this building from The Office, of course. It's a 24 by 18 inch print, a G-Clay print, and a 10 numbered edition of 75, and it costs $60. Very cool stuff. I really enjoy George Townley. He's a very cool guy. Okay, our next one is by the guys from Mondo. They did this very cool The Invisible Man print by Francesco Francavilla, I don't know, I hope I pronounce it right. It's by DL Screen Printing, 24 by 36 inches, and it's an edition of 225. Sadly, this one only shipped in the US and Canada, so you have a chance, like, if getting those by Mondo, they do sometimes some restrictions. You can get around it if you have a poster buddy that helps you out with, like, giving the address and, like, sending it to you, maybe for a little tip, maybe just for gratitude, and you do them a favor as well, if that happens to be the case. And yeah, this print is very, very cool. I like the way the invisible hand and this suit you can see in there. And yeah, and the house, very cool house she was like trapped in. I think that's a very good metaphor in this case. And there's also a variant print which has the lightning in there as well, and the red colors. It's an edition of $175. And this one is also really cool, but I think I have to go with the blue one on this case. I really enjoy this blue one. And yeah, very, very cool prints. Very enjoyable. Francesco, he does a very good job on all the stuff he does. All the like the paintings he did lately. He's doing so much. So congrats, Francesco. You are very much appreciated when it comes to this beautiful art. The next one, also by Mondo, is an artist we already had before. It's Daniel Taylor from Hungary, I think. And he did this wonderful Thor Ragnarok piece, especially with the colors. It fits right into the movie and the color scheme they're going for, this kind of pinkish stuff. The question is, so I wondered about the concept. Daniel, if you have a chance, I tagged you, of course, in the post. And if you read, if you listen to this or watch this, what was your idea behind it? Because when you look at it, the tiny Thor like in front of here, and the big hammer, which is like maybe a lot of responsibility that comes with, you see should it be the Rainbow Bridge, or should it be something that the teleportation that Heimdall does? In this case, and I wondered what this was all about, and I would like to know how you came up with this beautiful piece. So if you have a chance, let us know. We could set up a talk and have more for the community out there. Okay, our last pieces, as I have to say, it's multiple pieces, is by Gray Matter Art. Here's here's like a little screen of all of them together, and there are so many different ones. And if you look at this, I'm gonna put that up here in the browser so you can see a little bit better. I'm gonna pull it up a little bit more. This was the concept art series of Gray Matter Art and Marvel especially for the MCU. They have the original artists like Ryan Meinerding, who does a lot of work, and Andy Park did a lot of work on the concept art for that. And they sold out, they sold those prints on fine art G clay prints, 24x12, hand numbered, and they are all printed by Gray Matter Printing. I didn't know that they have a printing company now, so that's very interesting. And yeah, $45 around a piece, and the editions are 150 to I think 75 or something like that. So they're getting smaller as well in size, or is it bigger? I don't remember. No, they're smaller. Yeah, smaller in size, but it's very cool concept art that these artists do. Charlie Wen also in there, as you can see. And yeah, you could also buy the whole set, and this is part one of the whole set. Very cool stuff, and we're gonna take a look at the second release as well, for the cinematic universe. This is by Andy Park, the Endgame one, really, really, really cool one, and I really enjoyed this one, the Captain America Civil War for Black Panther, very good, because this is like the first time the Panther came up, and with its outfit and everything, very nice stuff, and some of these prints are still available, so check in on that. If there's some, I think the sets are sold out already, and yeah, this Spider-Man print is also very cool, the concept art print. And as I mentioned before, you can also get the set of 5 for $200. Very, very cool release stuff. I really enjoyed this one. So this is it. Now we will go over and talk to Matt Griffin first for his Dune piece, and then we are going to talk to Victoria Casinova, as I said before, for the Five Bloods key art. This is going to be very cool. I'm really excited to talk to both artists and have them on our release poster podcast episode. Okay, so now it's time to talk to Matt Griffin, the creator of a wonderful piece that it was released by Bottleneck, which is the Paul piece, which comes is a part of the book series Dune that he made this art for. Matt, how are you doing, my man?
I'm good, thank you, Tom. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. It's a real pleasure to feature one of the first artists in this new kind of thing. Bottleneck does with the artist show they do. I think they want to do it every Friday or something like that, and they release a lot of different pieces. And yeah, I'm really excited to look at your work in progress on this beautiful piece. So, how did it all start? How did you get in touch with Bottleneck on this case?
So I had been in touch with Bottleneck already on a couple of other projects. So my first release with them was a few months ago, was the Iron Giant. But we also have a few others in the pipe.
Oh, that's good to hear. I mean, oh, the Iron Giant, I just remember the Iron Giant one was so beautiful. I was so tempted. I didn't have money though, so I didn't get it. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, it's such a wonderful piece.
Thanks. Yeah, glad you like it. So, yeah, I was chatting to Joe, and we had a few little projects on the go and a few little irons in the fire. And since I made this piece of art called Paul, I have had a lot of requests for it as a print from the collecting community. Pretty much on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis, I would get an email from someone saying, "Is this ever going to be a print?" Especially after it came out on the special deluxe edition book. Even before that, I would get a lot of requests, but once the book came out, I was getting the requests every day. So I said to Joe at Bottleneck, I explained that I get these requests all the time and would they be interested? And yeah, he said absolutely. So I would have deemed a piece like that unsappable because there on my Photoshop file there's about 10,000 layers and 1 million colors. But that's until someone like Matt Ferguson gets a hold of it and he can set basically anything. And he helped me out with that and it was released and that's it.
So the other art, how did this how, is this going to be as a print version as well at some point, or is it just going to be the cover?
Just the cover for now. I also do get a few requests for the interior pieces. I just haven't really explored it yet. But I might down the line, you know, maybe they could be giclée or something. It's a possibility, but there's not as many requests for the interior as there is for that cover. Everybody wanted it.
Yeah, the cover looks really great, and there are two versions that Bottleneck came up with. The first one I'm showing here, this is the regular version, and then there's a foil version, which probably looks really awesome in person. Did they send them out already? Because like lately they have been like super fast, like in releasing those prints and like shipping them out.
Yeah, people have got theirs. So I went on my Facebook group and asked if anybody's got theirs, please send me photos because I haven't seen them yet. I'll get a couple of my APs, I'll get for myself, but they haven't arrived. And people sent me pics and they looked awesome. They looked really cool. It was printed by the Half and Half, who are brilliant. And the foil looks really great. I had actually thought, could it be done on gold foil? Would that be good? And then I was schooled that gold foil is actually not good for screen printing, and that the foil will give a kind of a gold effect with those inks on top of it anyway. So yeah, I can't wait to see it in person. The foil is exciting.
Very nice. And what was your first concept of like how did you go about it, like creating the cover in this case? Or because you did probably didn't create the poster in a different way.
Yes, so the piece of art was made a couple of years ago, and I like to make textures with ink and paper, and I sit down and I'll use water and ink and charcoal and whatever I can get my hands on, and I'll make these textures, which I then scan and I'll use them in various pieces of art, like and not just textures, but I take weird pictures of random stuff, cement mixers, stoves, all kinds of stuff. And I use it in my art. And for this one, I decided I want to make an original piece of art because I did this ink wash and it looked like a kind of a sandstorm.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I just pulled it up so everybody can see it now. And yeah, it looks like
it. All right. Well, it's a bit embarrassing, this first piece, because what happened was I sat down and I said, I'm going to draw Paul or Muad'Dib in this sandstorm and it's going to be amazing. And what always happens to me when I sit down to do a really detailed piece of original art, certainly these days, is I have great intentions. And then about 30 seconds into it, I go, and it's ruined. I don't have any kind of attention span for making very detailed original art these days.
Okay, and how's it though then? I mean, when you do it digitally, is it different, or is it still the attention span not?
I can't describe it.
Okay.
It takes no less time. I'm still drawing digitally. I guess the difference is I can undo a mistake digitally that I can't undo with ink.
Okay.
So there's that. I think for so many years now, like I used to, obviously I've always drawn with ink and by hand my whole life. But in recent years, because I'm so busy with commercial work, I have to bang it out quickly. Mm-hmm. And I've just become so accustomed to digital that I'm losing touch a little bit with the original art. So hence why I thought I'd sit down and do this. But it was, as you could see there from the image, I don't know if I can curse, but it was a load of shite. But I really liked this idea of the sandstorm and the ink wash. I loved the texture.
Yeah.
So I did it again, this time with no messy figure in it. And kept the concept of this figure standing in the wind and sand, and switched to digital and made this piece, which I think you might have as well, which is kind of the original.
Yeah, I just put it up.
Piece. All right, so I made that, and I thought it was okay, pretty cool, and I'll put it online, and I might get 5 likes, and I'll move on. But it kind of took off. It got tons and tons and tons of shares and likes on all sides. Tumblr got thousands, and Twitter and Instagram and all these things. So people really loved it. And one of the people who saw it was this art director in Penguin that I've worked with, because I do a lot of book cover work.
Adam Auerbach?
It is Adam Auerbach, yeah. And he said, could we license this piece for a cover on Dune? And I've loved Dune since I was a kid. First the movie and then the book, I have to admit.
Okay.
But big Dune fan, and I've had read the book at this stage multiple times and still do, and I love it. And I nearly leapt 10 feet off my chair. I was very excited, but I kind of remained calm and said, hang on, I don't want to just do the cover, I want to illustrate the whole book. So I said to him, any chance I could do a fully illustrated edition? And he said, no, look, we're not looking to illustrate it, but you could do the end papers and we might make this actually kind of a special edition of the book.
Okay, cool.
And that's how it was born. So it became this deluxe edition, and I kind of altered the art so it would be a full wrap. I did this art for the inside of the dust jacket, the end papers, a new map, and that was it.
Okay.
Came out.
So, sounds very good. I mean, it came out very well. And after you all did all this, and now Bottleneck asked you to do the print, and there is a lot of stuff involved. I mean, you gave in the group, I think in a Facebook group, you shared the GIF also, and I have it here, and I just put it in, and people can see what kind of work it takes to have or to make a screen print. How crazy was this?
Well, I can take no credit for this whatsoever, because this was all Matt Ferguson. He is a huge help to me in helping me with not just my steps, but also we're mates, online mates. We've never met, but we've been mates online for a good couple of years. And he helps me out with art direction as well as separating. And I'm doing some stuff for Vice Press, his licensing company. We've got some prints coming out with them too. And he very kindly said, I'll help you with this separations, because I thought there's no way it can be separated. Because I don't know if I said, but like in the Photoshop file, there's 10 billion layers and 6 million colors. And mm-hmm. I thought there's no way, but he just looks at anything and he goes, yeah, no problem. It's easy. And bang, he does it.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's a magician. Maybe I should do like an extra special episode just on how to separate stuff.
And then, come on, listen, do an extra special edition on Matt Ferguson.
I asked him a couple times already, but he's like super busy. Since he has to do separations for other people, then he has to do stuff for his own work. So he's like super busy. But
I should add a disclaimer that this is not in order to advertise his services. He merely helps me out on an occasional basis. I don't think he thanked me for sending everyone his way through their steps.
He's like, speaking of him, he actually, since we are recording on a Tuesday today, and there's probably going to be the Star Wars 40th anniversary edition pre-sale. I heard today it's going to happen today.
Poster of the decade, I think. It's
crazy good, right? Oh my god, I'm excited. I hope I heard that they're going to do a timed edition of the first one, of the regular one, so that's going to be pretty good, but some variants with the Japanese lettering also looking very, very fine.
It's awesome.
All righty, since we already talked about like the printing process and the APs that you're probably gonna get soon, my last thing I wanted to talk about is like a short movie review. So what did you like about the original one? What did you like about the first one? And how excited are you for the new one that's coming out?
Very, very excited. The movie was my intro to Dune, and my dad and brothers would be big movie buffs, and so we grew up, and my dad would have loved sci-fi and all that kind of stuff. He still does. Mm-hmm. And so a kind of a family favorite growing up was this movie Dune, and I know some people don't like it, but we absolutely adored it, and mm-hmm. we could quote every line from it. We would quote lines at each other constantly, and we still do. And that was my first intro to it, and we'd watch it once a year probably. And then when I was about, that's changing the subject from movies to books, but then I read the book and
it's fine. We can include that.
All right, I was totally hooked. But so I absolutely adored the movie. I guess if I look at it objectively, I can see that it's flawed. If I take away any sentiment I have about it being a childhood favorite, mm-hmm. it's not a perfect film. Lynch even would say he hates it and he disowns it. Mm-hmm. It's not a perfect, by any stretch, rendition of the book. Mm-hmm. But, it's just, it was my first intro to blue eyes and giant sandworms and all that kind of stuff. And I like the sound guns, voice guns and stuff like that. I think it's cool. Love the film. And it couldn't be in better hands now, I don't think, the new one.
Yeah.
I think he hit the job he did. Blade Runner is another favorite, would be a top three. Mm-hmm. I would watch that religiously and constantly over and over. And Villeneuve did like a perfect, sequel with 2049. He just nailed it for me. So I do think it's in great hands, and it's going to be awesome. Things that worry me are, I think an all-star cast is a bit weird.
And, okay.
Can kind of be distracting when every single role is filled with a superstar. Mm-hmm. And the picks, costume picks and stuff we're seeing, maybe to me look a little bit boring, but I will totally reserve judgment until I see it. I mean, it's a Denis Villeneuve film.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Exactly. I mean, he's a master in cinematography and filmmaking. So that's really, really cool stuff. And, but one thing though, the Oscar Isaac screenshot where he looks like behind this way, you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. There's Atreides Dune armor stuff, which I thought was cool. Is that what you mean?
Exactly, where he's just wearing this armor, and this like his character and the armor basically looks like one of the characters from the video game Star Wars The Old Republic. It was like an expansion, and it basically looks so similar. I was like, oh my God, they actually copied this. I'm going to show you off air this whole thing, but people can Google this. I think it's Velcuron is the king, something like with Vel. But yeah, I'll put it in the show notes for the rest of the people. But yeah, so this is it. Thank you for stopping by, Matt. This was short and sweet, and you explained the whole process of making this wonderful piece of art. And I think the people will enjoy it, and they did enjoy it. I mean, it was sold out real quick. So, good thing to that. And check out Matt Griffin's Facebook page. I almost said Facebook group, and also the Instagram page, which is Matt Griffin Illustrator.
What? Matt Griffin Illustrator on Instagram. The Facebook group is there too, and collectors more than welcome. Art of Matt Griffin, it's called. And AP links go up in the group first. So
exactly. So get in there, exactly. Check it out. If you really enjoyed this print and you want to be part of this hobby and collect, this is a good way to start. Okay, thank you guys.
All right.
Okay, so it is now the time for Victoria Casanova. She did this beautiful The Five Bloods piece, and welcome, Victoria. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. It's also hot here. How hot is it in LA right now?
It is cloudy right now. Okay. I haven't even stepped outside yet. I need to walk my dog soon, but it's cloudy, which means it might still be warm.
Okay, yeah. I remember those mornings when in California, when I basically woke up, it was like, you still had to wear a sweater because it was cold. And then like basically 2 or 3 hours later, it was like super hot.
Scorching hot. Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to talk to you about, as I just said, about your Five Bloods piece. And it's a really, really cool one. And how did this happen? How did the contact happen? How did Spike get involved?
So this is all through Gravelous Inc., which is a brand design agency. They're Black owned. They're incredible. Kenny and Deanna are the ones who created it and run it. Kenny brought me on and told me that like they're doing the artwork for the new Spike Lee joint, and they needed new ideas because the first batch that they were getting just wasn't hitting. Mm-hmm. So he gave me like a PDF that had like, you know, the little inspiration, which consisted of Emory Douglas's piece and some other like 70s Vietnam kind of propaganda-ish. Not propaganda. Like they were very like vintage retro inspiration style pictures. So he sent me like 10 of them. The whole thing, the whole encompassing purpose of it was that Spike wanted it to embody the Black experience in Vietnam. So they wanted it to be very simple. So my style personally is very detailed. I'm like very busy. Like I love to like do like a lot of texture and different stuff like that. So this was actually a really big challenge for me to think, okay, how can I make something so significant being the Black experience of Vietnam condensed into something very, very simple that's going to send the message of the character's experience mm-hmm. in the movie will spread actual history into something that was like very visually simplified.
Was there a way that you did you see the movie beforehand or some material so you could draw from that, or was it just basically
they sent me the trailer. I didn't get to see the film before it was released, but they sent me the trailer. Mm-hmm. I watched it in like I think February, but they, what I did do, I did a lot of research, on African Americans during the Vietnam War. Like they were, you know, fighting a war for America who was not even giving them rights. Right. So like, that is also a big theme throughout the movie. So I was thinking like, how do I embody that feeling through this illustration? So I just, most of my inspiration really came a lot from just like my research on an emotional level
mm-hmm.
too.
When I look at all this stuff at the Douglas stuff and at your poster, it reminds me a little bit of because like we have like obviously since I grew up in East Germany and so socialism was a big thing and communism and stuff like that, and I remember because we have a lot of art here that has those communist propaganda, yeah, we could say propaganda maybe, but those pieces that like promote how great socialism is and stuff like that. And the style kind of reminds me of this kind of representation in a way. And it's like really interesting to look at this way. How was your process in making it? What was your first steps? Did you sketch things out or?
Yes, I actually had a really weird process. I started out with like 5 ideas that I never even sent to Kenny. Yeah. Or anyone to see, but it started out with like, I knew I wanted it to be a portrait of a soldier. I was first thinking, okay, maybe it should be a portrait of Chadwick, who plays
Storm and Norman.
Who plays Storm? Yeah, I'm like getting the names all mixed up. I was thinking of doing his portrait, but then I was thinking, okay, maybe this needs to be more like simplified and just like a almost like a symbol of all of their experience. Mm. So I first drew this portrait of a black male I made his face up and everything, and then it slowly just formed into the inspiration that I got from Kerry James Marshall's A Portrait of the Artist as a Shadow of His Former Self. That became a really big inspiration for me because it was the meaning behind it, at least what I meant for me, translated that through what I was trying to say for this. So it was a process over like, I think 3 or 4 days that I created and at first we had, in the first version, I had like a gun behind him, but then he was like, Spike does not like guns in his posters, even though the movie has like, there's a lot of guns in the movie. He doesn't like guns in his posters. So we took the gun out. I had like a bullet strap around him at first as well, I think. I did, yeah. And then we took that out. We just simplified all of it. And the whole vision of it was that like his face is completely in shadow to kind of symbolize like that he, like his identity isn't even acknowledged really. It's like they're not considered like a full human with full rights, but yet their eyes can see.
It's like
the injustice. And
yeah, it's in a shadow, basically, also in terms of not being seen in this way. And not being like physically real in a kind of way, so that's a very interesting perspective. How long was it from having the idea until the finished product?
I think it was about like 4 days to like, oh, actually we had like a week, I think, of like doing a couple revisions. And then did another version. I also did a completely different version that wasn't used in it. But that first one ended up going. So yeah, it took me 3 or 4 days to actually create it. And then within the week we did revisions. These go like very fast. Okay. Like most of them, they give you like 2 days to create something or to create like a quick sketch concept.
Okay, that's cool. I know from like the movie poster world, they sometimes, like for example, like last year I was working with an artist on a Star Wars series, like 3D posters for Star Wars. And Disney took so long to get back to us. This was incredible. It's like, I don't know. But in the end we didn't make it because it just took too long. Disney didn't get to it, but well, it's going to be in there, and maybe someday Disney is going to decide, oh yeah, let's do some prints, or here you get the license to do some prints. It's like it's a crazy thing, definitely. And Spike had your artwork in his shop. You could basically buy it, and I think it was a screen print also. And did you ever do like screen prints before in this kind of way, or?
No, I think Gravelous took care of that. They have like printers in their office. They have like really, really beautiful, cool office in Wilshire. I think they printed all of that. So I didn't see the process of that part. But yeah.
But did you get a print yet, or do you have a print for yourself?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I should get one.
You should get one. You should demand that.
I know, I didn't think about that.
But try to get one. Maybe there's going to be some time. Since there was like so much stuff coming out this week, like with the Star Wars Metaphors and Star Wars piece we talked about, I didn't have the money to buy one of your prints, but I really wanted to. And Yeah, I think they were for $100 on sale on Spike's site, but yeah, it's okay price.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yep. And that would have been my next question, because like when you do like a movie poster in this kind of world, where I come from, there's always like an artist proof, it's called, and the artist gets a couple of prints to sell them for themselves from their store. And but I guess this is not going to happen, is it?
I didn't get that. No, I didn't.
Maybe now you have the terms. Maybe you should like ask about that.
I don't know, maybe I should ask a couple questions. I don't know, but no, I'm grateful to like be a part of mm-hmm. this, and I'm just grateful to you know provide my artistic vision for something much bigger than myself.
Of course, so. Yeah, it's a great movie as well, and that's the next thing I want to talk about is you watched the movie. I watched the movie, and I just came out with the review yesterday with my colleague, and we did it in German. But so I promised some because like some people ask me already, hey, did you do the Five Bloods review in English? I really wondered, and I was like, no, it's in German. He was like, oh no, too bad. But and I told him, yeah, he's also a movie poster collector, and I told him, yeah, check it out. I'm gonna talk to Victoria Casinova tomorrow, and. There's going to be on Friday, it's going to come out, and then you will see like a short movie review of the film. So first off, what did you really like about the movie?
I love how, I mean, there's a lot of things I like about it, but I love how like in your face it is, while also like, I think, portraying a really significant message. Mm-hmm. Like it's like very unapologetic.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it touches on like racism to imperialism to men's friendships, post-traumatic stress with Paul having like severe PTSD.
Exactly.
And it's like, I don't know, I like how it was kind of like one whose trauma, it's like their trauma isn't limited to Vietnam, but it extends, like the racism extends on a domestic front that they were experiencing. So it touches on so many different levels. And I feel like the men were a bridge between the past and present. Mm-hmm. And it was, so, I mean, the release of it is so timely.
Exactly. Yeah. I also enjoyed the way that he didn't do like de-aging or something like that with the flashbacks. And this shows also how the war is still, even it was in the 60s, early 70s, still is an important part for them and their culture in nowadays America. And that's really interesting to me. And I really enjoyed that point. But I have to ask you, how did you cope with the violence? I thought it was a really violent movie.
You know, it really caught me off guard when the first guy.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It's a spoiler. It's like spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Like when he's like, do you really care about this money? Like, you know, he's putting his gold, and he steps back,
I so knew that was going to come. I was like, oh my God, next step.
The whole time, I'm like, one of these guys is going to step on a mine. Like, they had the French. I don't know what they were called. The detonate.
Yeah. LAMB or something like that. They were called the organization.
Yeah, with like Hetty. I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to be like that. Like, that's so interesting about the film. It's like the beginning, you start out seeing these men. They're all from different, you know, they live their life and they come together. It's like a reunion. Yeah. You know, they're all going to go to Vietnam together. And you just have no idea that it's going to result in like this entire like other version of warfare.
Yeah, it was like basically from a like a fun adventure to a real horrible war movie, and in terms of the violence. Yeah. And I thought, by the way, that I forgot his character name, but when he was looking for the gold bars, I thought that's when the landmine's gonna strike in some sort of way.
Oh, David, yeah, he was personally. Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. And the part when he was on the, when he stepped on the mine and they all wrapped the rope around him and pulled, like that was a moment.
Yeah. That was very intense.
And that's what's so interesting about it. It's like there's so many layers to it. We're touching on racism. We're touching on PTSD. Mm-hmm. We're touching on like an estranged relationship between father and son. I don't know. There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot to it.
That's like a Spike. Spike does always his movies like that. They always cover so many different messages, so many different aspects of African American culture, and also culture in general. And it's like really cool how he ties it all together. But I still, that's one of the points I didn't like about the movie is the violence. I think it was not necessary to do that way, and especially when we look at I don't know, maybe some people have to see it, but spoiler in this case again, the one scene where the kid or the guy gets shot right away, and it's like, I don't know, it was super graphic. It was like rated R movie in my opinion. No.
Oh yeah.
No. I mean the Vietnam flashback scene, like actual footage where this one guy gets shot. Remember?
Yeah. No. There's also like a flashback of like a baby that had like part of it.
Yeah. That's.
But you know what? It's not the most pleasant visuals, but it's necessary. I felt like it was like this is what happened. This is the trauma that. African Americans have had a face. This is the trauma that soldiers in Vietnam have faced. Like, it's not pleasant, it's not pretty, it's not cute, it's not sexy, but it's real.
I just wondered because you know, I can only like I come from a white privileged position, obviously, and not having this kind of experience, so I can't tell. And it's like it was hard because like my colleague, she is she also like she's like really against violence and stuff, and she was wondering about that. And I'm really glad that I have like a female a black perspective on that, and that's like really good to hear that that it actually is something that is important to the movie. And is there something you didn't like?
What did I not like about it? I don't know if there's anything I particularly didn't like. I think that I just felt sad. A lot of parts I felt sad for Paul's circumstance, just the unfortunateness of that and how the things that he had to experience, like he kind of got he soaked in, I think, the worst of the experience of Vietnam than the other guys did. He kind of had this mentality of like, I need to get mine. Like, when am I going to get mine? Kind of thing. And that made me sad because I know that there's a lot of, that's the feeling that a lot of Americans, African Americans, hold as well.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think, it just made me like feeling sad that happened, that all that trauma happened, and it's still happening today. Mm-hmm. It's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the parts. It's like, you know, being a teacher, I actually taught today again. I taught Black-ish today. In my class, because since there's not much going on, it's like next week they're gonna get their diplomas and everything, and like school's basically over. Summer break is incoming, so I actually showed them a couple of Black-ish episodes, and we talked about it and like what it means in a certain way. So I always try like to educate the students, and we had a big demonstration as well, the Black Lives Matter demonstration here in Berlin. Like I think the 15,000-20,000 people showed up, so that was really cool to see. And a couple of my students even went there, and they had signs up, and some of them even like even on Instagram, like there was like this I have a black female student, and she actually wrote, hey, thank you Mr. Luther for doing this and like teaching me how to talk about this topic. And I was like really touched by that, and I'm glad that I could give something back for the community and for my students, so to educate them to understand what is happening in the world and what is like wrong with that. So that's also a really, really good thing. And I wanted to use the Five Bloods as well, but I think it's too violent. I can't use it in the classroom.
I mean, how old are the kids?
It depends. I have like from 12-year-olds up to 19-year-olds. So it's like, There's a lot in the mix. The older ones could do it, but I had younger ones today, so it wasn't in the cards.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess they'd have to find it. Maybe it'll find its way to them.
Yeah.
sometimes.
I mean, there's other stuff that helps also to explain the situation, and I think Black-ish does a good job on explaining certain episodes to make it more clear what is going on, and they understand that. And they really like that, and they actually watch more stuff, and that's a really a good thing that they pick up, and that they have maybe this kind of outlet, because they know I do like all those talks and interviews and movie reviews and stuff like that, so they actually watch it because they know me, and so I kind of have like still this teaching thing going on even if I do this, so they check that out. That's a good thing. Okay. Let's come to the rating part. We always rate a movie here, and we rate from 0 to 10. What would you give The Five Bloods?
Oh, man. I mean, I would say a 10, just because it's in the middle of Hollywood right now, and being like seeing everything that's happening with America, protests, and everything, I think it's so timely. It's jarring. It's crazy. It catches you by surprise, but I think it's so significant and important for the times right now, as well as, you know, educating us further on not only our current history but our past history from the 70s of Vietnam. I loved it.
Great. Yeah, I liked it really too. I think it's one of the best movies of the year, and I think also that the movie doesn't glorify what happened in Vietnam. I think, like, for example, if you have Forrest Gump, for example, who's like basically not glorifying but showing a totally different Vietnam experience, and I think Spike Lee informs and entertains at the same time, and he does it very well, and he does it, I think he's maybe the best educator, entertainer persona in the film business, and I'm really glad that he made this movie. I gave the movie 8 of 10 because of the violence and some of the plot points. Like, from a cinematic perspective, I sometimes the story was a little bit thin, but all fair, I'd say. And still a good movie. I would recommend it. One of the best movies I've seen all year. And thank you, Victoria, for stopping by. It was really a pleasure talking to you and having your perspective on the piece and on the movie. And we will see each other soon, I guess, next week when we have an interview, but I don't know who's going to be on, because there's a ton of schedule. I had a bunch of interviews this week, so. Okay, guys, take care. Bye-bye.